Taking the time to chat today. We're excited to hear more about what you guys are up to and to talk about what's happening with Levana over the next couple weeks.
Hi, everyone. Happy to be here.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for the invitation. We are going to chat Levana, and there's some things to cover. Obviously, Levana is approaching 1 billion in the volume of the platform. Nolus is approaching all-time highs. There is new things coming to Nolus. Although this too important, the two platforms might seem a little bit different at the start, right? On Nolus, you essentially put the asset as the collateral, you loan it, and you can leverage your position this way and benefit from the upside. You can also provide the stable coin to earn additional yield. And Levana, in this case, perps, for many perps is thing for, I think, more of the risk takers, okay? And but I think you can also leverage Levana in more conservative ways and actually both protocols, even if you use you can use Levana in a conservative way, you can use Nolus to actually profit from more from the safer strategies, right? I think we could start from Levana. There was a lot of talk lately. If the Nolus folks are okay with that, I know from Levana side we are speaking to Jonathan. From Nolus we are speaking to
Meto. I'm doing product development at Nolus.
Meto, yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Nice to I think we talked before, right? So
yeah, we've talked before.
Yeah. Jonathan, like can you tell us what is going on with the volume, with the fees collected, and there was the airdrop. Right, and I saw some you pull in some volumes also on the Twitter, and people are very excited. I think you came from the underdog to being let's say it like most popular, one of the most popular platforms on Osmosis as of now.
Probably just in terms of daily active users, we're the most popular third party application on Osmosis, besides for their flagship DEX. I'd say we're still very much an underdog. We've got about 11,000 users in total. We've done about $900 million of trading volume since we launched about 4 months ago. Recent volume with this recent price run, it's been pretty good. The protocol has generated a little over $1 million in fees, which have been distributed to Osmosis community members, and primarily Osmosis community members. And we're just excited to launch the governance token. The governance token is technically live. A little bits of airdrops have been kind of teased out, but the target is next week to be able to airdrop. Obviously there's a million things going on and a lot of coordination that has to happen. So we're targeting the 18th, and we hope that we'll get as close to that as possible. But yeah, in general, I mean, it's been a crazy 3 years of building this thing, and it's been a crazy 3 months kind of going from it being live and having 20 users to, to breaking the 10,000 user mark.
Do you have some data? So I think we are like all aware like that not all of the users are real, right? Like, but 10,000, regardless of that, that's a great number. But do you maybe have the data of the traders that don't come and do 1-2 trades and leave? But do you have maybe data of the active traders that participate constantly on Levana?
Sure. We've got about an 80% retention rate, meaning that of 100 people that come and make their first trade, roughly 80%, or maybe I think it's of make their second trade, 80% of them make their third trade. I don't have the numbers in front of me, so don't quote me on it, but it's incredibly high. And we're seeing about 300 unique traders a day. So if you kind of skim off the top of like the, the fluff, then there's, there's on a monthly active base, there's a few thousand traders that are really enjoying the product. And, I would say, I don't know how much of Cosmos as a whole is, kind of like people that are, they're not necessarily users, but maybe they're airdrop hunters, or they're doing some other kind of mechanisms just to kind of profit tangentially off of the applications. But in terms of core users that are actually making it to that are trading on the platform to make trades, it's a pretty large percentage. I think we're seeing a few thousand of them every month.
And do you mind sharing, because the volume and obviously the fees are growing, right? And it's expanding. Of course, we are hitting a little bit of the bull market right now. Do you have maybe month to month grow in the volume, which also is being reflected on the fees collected? So if you can also give like maybe volume for the last 30 days and how much Levana was able to collect the fees from that.
It's good questions. I'm not on mute. So I'm pulling up on our stats page to see what numbers that we have just kind of out of the box. And I think we've got specifically the fees for the past 30 days, but I'm going to pull it up. And in terms of just overall growth, just shooting from the hip, we were doing about maybe $2 to $3 million of trading volume a day, 2 months ago. And today we're averaging, I think, around $10 million a day. So fees collected in the last 30 days is $524,000. So about $500,000 were collected by the protocol in the last 30 days.
Sorry, can you repeat the number of the fees?
So in total, since we launched 4 months ago, there's been $1.14 million in fees. In the last 30 days, there was $500,000. So
half a million. That's insane. Yeah. And I think people are aware, but like those who are not aware, those fees are mainly distributed to the people who provide the liquidity on the Levana platform, right? So there's $500,000, and I think it's fair to say that as of now, this is most profitable application within the Cosmos ecosystem, right? Like, because I know we have the AMMs, DEXs. They do not generate that much of the. They generate a lot of fees, but not all of the fees are distributed to the actual participants. So if that was $500,000 in the fees, that means $350,000 was distributed to the providers of the liquidity on the Levana platform, while $150K went to Levana itself. Right. So congratulations, Jonathan. I think you are in much better position than when you were starting, yeah?
Absolutely. It's actually those fees that are the protocol fees that actually provides the liquidity for the 25, or I think it's 27 now, markets that we have on the protocol. So if you look, we've gone from having three or four different assets listed, Atom, Bitcoin, Bridged ETH, and maybe one or two others. To now, we've got, we have Forex assets, we have synthetic assets, we've got, you can go, if you look on the trading page, you'll see on the top left, over 25 different assets. And so it's been really exciting to be able to grow and to be able to take the protocol fees and then fold them back into the application to allow new markets to be created, which then in turn bring on more protocol fees. So it's an amazing flywheel that we didn't expect to happen so quickly. But in at the same time, I think that it's really being leveraged to just increase the amount of adoption that we have in the market.
Yeah, I actually wasn't sharing that before, but I will. This is risky, but it's interesting approach of Levana. Providing liquidity is risky. So for those who are not sure how it works, you provide the liquidity, and you are trading against the traders, right? Because that money that traders win comes from somewhere. It comes from you as the liquidity provider, or as they lose, it comes to you. So not only fees, you not only generate the fees, but you also generate the losses of the people. And according to the Levana data that we have, the traders are losing, right? That's always the case. It might not be the case for the month to month, but in the long term, our traders are losing. So there's more money distributed to those liquidity providers. And I was doing this myself. I was doing this on DYDX, and I was quite lucky. Within 3 days, I increased my USDC by 20%, right?
That's pretty amazing.
But at the same time, I was also providing liquidity to Rune. And in the moment when it was going from 5 to 7, so then I got wrecked on Rune, but I held it a little longer, and it actually started balancing, right? So many people are being scared, when the markets are volatile, but I think it's good to be aware of that. How much is the locked in the liquidity, if you got that data?
There is today in the protocol itself, there's, I think, roughly $13 million. But in terms of specifically the XLP buckets, which have a 45-day linear unlock, I think last time I saw it was about a third of that. So I would guess, somewhere around $4 or $5 million are locked over a long period of time, and the rest is deposited, but is liquid capital.
Yeah, and I have one question about the. Your app security, the financial security. But before I get to this, I think we need to get some voice to Meta, so he doesn't feel to be left over. And I want to learn a little bit about the data of Nolus. I think it's more difficult to see the TVL of data, the number of users, and so on of Nolus. I know Nolus is expanding, and soon we're gonna have this on more networks. Exactly. To me, it's perfect niche, because how Nolus works, it allows you to borrow more than you provide, right? The downside but this has to be the downside, that you have the money locked within the protocol. But if you can leverage that, borrow more promising assets for you, you can provide liquidity, so you can essentially expand your position. Because you can borrow more, and those who provide liquidity in form of USDC, they earn the protocol fees. Is that correct?
So yeah, maybe just go a bit, give a bit of a background. So you've mentioned that lenders, they provide stable coins, so they earn earn real yield in the form of USDC, AXA or USDC, that is coming from what the borrowers pay as interest. And they earn extra rewards in NLS. So currently, we, as you probably noticed, the lender's APY is around like it's like 10% real in real yield USDC, and with additional like 13%, I think, in NLS rewards. And this is possible because right now we have like this automatic deposit suspension cap, which basically takes care of not having many more lenders compared to borrowers in the system. So currently this cap is at 65% utilization ratio. So once the utilization drops below that level, new deposits are prevented in the system, which basically helps maintain this high percentage of yield, more or less. And yeah, you mentioned that borrowers they basically like lock their assets in their borrow positions, and it's more or less this more or less resembles like a cross chain margin long on that asset. But of course, here you have like the added flexibility because that asset is like a real asset. So you more or less you as a borrower you provide a deposit and you take up to 150% from Nolus as a loan, and then your deposit and the loan provided by the system, they get transferred in the background to an integrated DEX, say Osmosis, and they get swapped to a desired asset. So you have like a real underlying asset. So in that case, you can pretty much extend that model further by utilizing those assets in the position in certain strategies to like earn yield, for example. Of course, these strategies need to be safe for the protocol in order to so that the protocol is able to liquidate those funds should the need arise. And yeah, this is like a more conservative way to leverage your portfolio because you can like borrow up to like 150%. And you're not like a perpetual platform where you can leverage like 10 to 20 20x your what you deposit. And of course, this is especially like helpful in scenarios where the market is kind of volatile, so the prices go up, but at some point they there might be a drawdown. So in that case, you're more or less protected in a way. But of course, that's the upside is more or less. It's not that much if you like use an 10 and 20 20x perpetuals platform and the price simply goes up, but it's a more risk averse strategy for a borrower, definitely. So it's like a different type of product but that has its benefits.
Something else that's, I think, really interesting with these types of money markets is that they can actually directly be used with perps in order to create cross margin. Whereas if I have, a bunch of different assets that I was to, deposit into Nolus that I could all draw from a credit account, some type of unified asset like a stablecoin, then there can be a flow created where users open up perp positions directly from a Nolus user interface, because what would be happening in the background is I might put in like some Bitcoin and some Neutron and some Atom and other assets, and then that gives me a certain amount of credit, and then if I'm if I want to go long 10x on TIA, there's the potential for integration where I would just, if I wasn't using anything on my Nolus account, I'd be just earning interest as a lender. And then if I wanted to take that credit and then open up a leverage long position, I would be able to do that directly from potentially directly from the Nolus UI. And in the background, it would be drawing capital from my credit account and then using that to open up a perps, which would either be located on the same chain or located on a different chain, through ICS. So I think there's a lot of, I think we're in the early stages of like the design space of how, you know, lending protocols and leverage protocols can be used to enhance each other's user experiences.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There can be like many elaborate DeFi money Legos basically built on top of such protocols. Like one idea that is also possible is having sort of like a delta neutral strategy where you like long on Nolus and then you short on Levana, and if the funding rate there is like pleasant for shorters at that. At that moment, so you more or less have like this delta neutral position where you earn basically from that, and simply need to like maintain your collateralization. You need to take care of the loan to value ratio that you have, and be sure to kind of manage your position. But of course, in addition, you could also rely on such managers yourself, like in a fully trusted way. So there are like multiple ways in which those two models can be combined together and even extended beyond that. So pretty interesting times ahead.
Meto, do you mind sharing maybe the volume of users in the recent months? You know, did you see the change of your platform with this changing market? Because go on.
Keep track, of course, of the wallets, wallets that are utilizing our lending market, so whether they be like lenders or borrowers. And yeah, we've like in the recent months we've seen like a surge in that numbers, like for in the numbers, for example, like from October to November this year, like the number has like is more than 100% more active users. And the interesting part is here that for now, for December, we are like halfway through December, and we're more or less we have like 80% or 85% of the active wallets from last month. So with this pace, we expect this number to rise even further. And of course, this is reflected as well in the TVL that we have currently. So it's around 3.5 million, and it's going up steadily. We have, I believe, 1.6 million supplied, and out of which 1.04 million is borrowed. So there are like 63% utilization at the moment of the funds, which is quite healthy. Of course, as mentioned earlier, new deposits are prevented from entering the system below 65% to prevent the dilution of the lender's yield. And we played slow and steady kind of race, but the direction is upwards, which is important.
And there was one thing I noticed, that the, you know, especially for those who still played safe, for those who completely want to refuse the token action, right? Those who don't really want those 3x that just happened in the recent months, and they are very happy with the stablecoin yield, right? I see that also increased, you know, initially from like what I saw, that yield was oscillating for like in around 5% for the USDC. And of course there was around 15% incentives coming from Nolus. But I see it's at over 10% now, right?
Yes, exactly.
And could you explain the like the change of that? Like what is happening within the protocol that those who provide earn more fees? Can you tell us?
Yep. So I'll refer to this utilization threshold that we have for the new lenders suspension from entering the system. So initially we've had this set at 50%, But due to the ongoing 0% initiative that we have for the borrowers, so borrowers currently are paying 0% interest until the end of January, we decided that it would be nice to propose to have a governance proposal to raise that deposit suspension cap to like 65%, which meant that new lenders were practically prevented from entering the system until enough funds were borrowed for leases. So for a certain period of time, there were no new lenders entering the system, and borrowers simply like went up in numbers. So this brought this utilization threshold even higher than 65% afterwards. So this, of course, affected the percentage which the lenders earn, because borrowers, like originally without this 0% initiative, they pay interest between 12 and 18% fixed. So this interest is fixed for the duration of the position that they have. And of course, if new people kind of enter when the interest is high, this of course gets direct to the lenders, and they earn more. So that's like the primary reason for this jump.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jonathan. I wanted to ask. I told you about the security, right? So let's tap into this a little bit. You know, there is different model, and I think it's worth to talk. A few weeks ago, we had the certain exploit within DYDX, and before anyone freaks out about the exploit, it wasn't the exploit that then a wallet was compromised, but with the protocols like PERPs, there's like actually a lot of a lot of different way economic exploits. So like we could say it like this, you know, you can manipulate the market a certain way. If it's more profitable for you to leave the highly leveraged trade, and if it's cheaper for you to manipulate the market, you can get a lot of money, right? So to give example, imagine someone is shorting with very big leverage the position, and that position would give you $5 million, let's say. And then you proceed to selling the large position on the market that will cost you $3 million, right? You benefit too, and you can drain the funds this way. And DYDX fund, if that was what happened, if I'm getting correctly into this, am I speaking correctly about this, Jonathan?
Yep. Yeah. That's the it's the spot market attack on leverage markets. So it's right. It's not something that only exists on crypto. I mean, this is an attack that has plagued the markets, you know, since bucket shops opened up, you know, in the 1920s in America. Like in Chicago, so that, you know, these same things, it'd be, you know, telegrams sent between, you know, people trading in bucket shops in Chicago and people on Wall Street, and with penny stocks, you'd be able to do this exact same attack. So it's not something that's new, but it is something that is, you know, a challenge when you work in the leverage space.
Yeah, and I think. You might be the one, you're surely one that I know of, because DYDX has concentrated pool. Like, can I say concentrated? Like, it's one pool. Is that the pool for the trading? Maybe they are changing now. I don't know of the other protocols. Are there any other protocols that separates those pools?
I'm not familiar with any. I mean, this was something definitely when we went into the design of Levana, of using segregated markets in order to protect contagion risk against market manipulation on individual markets. This was something that was novel and hadn't existed in the past. And again, it, you know, it has a lot of roots in TradeFi, in just, you know, having areas where there would be desks that only dealt with, you know, Latin American assets, and there'd be desks that only dealt with European assets and desk only dealt with commodities. And some of the reason for this was to minimize that contagion risk. But what's been very popular within crypto, and as you said, like with DYDX and with GMX and with a lot of the other protocols, is that they have a unified liquidity pool, and they have a unified risk fund or insurance fund, and that makes requires an exchange to be incredibly conservative about the assets that are going to be listed, or contrarywise, they can be incredibly risk on, and they can just have 100x leverage markets on every altcoin that you could ever imagine. And then it's, it really is just like a ticking time bomb until there's one market that wins so much that it just drains every other platform. And you can even see the in the terms of service, like on DYDX, they explicitly mention this as a feature. It's not even a bug. It's like a feature where they say, look, the backstop of one market running away is going to be an insurance pool. The insurance pool is centralized and it's controlled by us and our investors. And if that's not enough, then we're going to take from traders' collateral. So you as a trader on not just DYDX, but many platforms, you as a trader really are in many cases, unbeknownst to you, you're acting as an insurance mechanism toward the solvency of the platform.
Yeah, so you explained quite a lot, because I was aiming to everything, like what's unique about Levana. Every pair is separated. So if there is like manipulation of the pair, I don't really imagine the manipulation, because the size of these pools is not really that huge. So I don't think that would any attack would make sense, but those are separated, right? And also traders are allowed to trade the leverage that liquidity on certain pair allows them. So okay, you cannot go to very niche pairs and like leave really huge position, but what's important, the platform will not crack, right? The platform will not have financial issues and so on, which is really good solution here, right? But yeah, as I said, you explained it all. If you want to add something to this,
well, I think the from the tech perspective, people don't really understand how Levana grew so quickly to such a great volume. And I can appreciate why, because when you come to the Levana website, it looks pretty much just like every other perps. But if you look at the other perps, at least within the Cosmos ecosystem and also within many of the other like ETH layer 2 ecosystems, like if you go outside of like the top 10 or maybe the top 15, it's kind of like everybody is like a little mom and pop shop. People are trading like kind of small bags. And each perp is trying to just kind of like find its little niche, but none of them have. Sorry, there's a bus going past me, and it just stopped here. So let me move. None of the perps, at least the Cosmos perps, the Cosmos homegrown perps, DYDX excluded, have really been able to attract the interest of more sophisticated and larger bag holding participants. And that's because when you're trading with, even if you're trading with just hundreds of thousands of dollars on leverage, a measly $100,000, I see that facetiously, then you're still coming with some level of professionalism and some level of understanding of, what are my risks, and you do a little bit of homework. And we've had numerous, prop traders, professional traders that are active within the Cosmos ecosystem, contact us and say, hey, I've been reading your white paper. I read your risk model. I have some questions. Could my analyst sit down and talk to you? And those are the types, and it's kind of like they're snuffing us out because they're looking for a product where they can trustlessly trade at scale on some of these more exotic markets, like leverage on TIA, some of these, even like SD Atom. I think we're the only venue that you can leverage trade SD Atom or Real Yield ETH. And so they want to understand how it works. And then once they dive into it, they like what they hear. And so then they come back and they just keep trading. And I think that that was a little bit of the philosophy after we went through the crash of Terra, was let's actually build something that is far more resilient to both the glory of a bull run and the tragedy of a market crash. Let's build something that's just going to survive it and is not going to just become insolvent and then, either go out of business or require, VCs to bail it out. And it's still evolving. I think Livana has gotten a lot better in the past 4 months than it did, than the original product that we built. There's been a lot of tweaking to some of the underlying math underneath it to improve things based on real world data and cross-checking the real world metrics versus like the projected performance from different modeling that we did over the past like year. And it's just been a really amazing experience to kind of see the theory come to market and then to see other professionals appreciate what we built and then actually put their money where their mouth is and do, make large positions and seemingly enjoy what's been built.
I was just checking platform and it's quite interesting. Like I think it's like very unique platform because many others have the certain trending pairs, but like I was surprised, for example, PIF, considering how many people in Cosmos received the airdrop, like that they didn't seem very keen on speculating on that, right? Solana is built up quite well, but there is some pairs that are not as popular. Do you have maybe info on like which pairs are most popular? Obviously, I know there will be BTC, Atom, SD Atom. Beyond that, like, do you have some alternative pairs that like are surprised to you?
I think the Solana market was particularly surprising. I think the Injective market was surprising. We have a native Injective market. And we also have a synthetic Injective market. So it's been interesting to kind of see how those have been growing. Where we launched also 2 4Xs, which have gotten kind of like mediocre success. There's a few dozen traders that are very dedicated to those markets. But we will, the ones that you mentioned, those are definitely the flagship. And I think that if you go to any venue, whether it's any exchange, any, Perps platform, you're always going to end up seeing kind of like the same familiar faces, in the top 5 or the top 10. But I think that the staked assets are things that have been particularly interesting to us. And it could be that it's just the DNA of the Cosmos ecosystem. So I'm curious just to kick the same question over to Nolis. What are the most popular, even in terms of size and volume, by you guys?
Yeah, that's quite a good question. So yeah, I currently have the numbers in front of me. So I mentioned earlier that we can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. We currently have, as mentioned earlier, a bit over 1 million in active loans. So the most popular assets that people like to lease is ST Atom. It's over 200K out of those 1 million in loans go to for ST Atom lease positions. And here the most interesting thing is that the second most leased asset is ACT, Akash. And that was actually, I think, We were I think the first protocol that allowed leverage on ACT. So maybe that's something that also helped. So we've had like ACT for quite a bit of time now, and it stands at like 130k in loans. And afterwards, it's TIA and wrapped Ethereum. So these are like the top four most leased or borrowed like assets on Nolus. And the least popular are ones are Secret and STK Atom.
And as we talk about this pairs, you know, it's no secret that Nolus is expanding. Yeah. So the Osmosis was the native Nolus market.
Yes.
And you are going beyond. And can you talk about this?
Yes, of course.
Which networks you are planning ahead? Is it just one or is more?
So for the time being, we are working hard on integrating with Neutron and Astroport on Neutron, since Astroport is the main DEX there with the most liquidity. So we would be like initially we would be integrating assets such as core leasing, such as NTRN, DYDX is on Astroport. I believe they even have like more liquidity than on Osmosis. So that's like an interesting asset that we expect the community would be, of course, very interested in. And we would support also Atom and ST Atom there. This is like in the near term. Of course, we are looking into afterwards expanding this model further. And actually with this integration, we are not only integrating Neutron as a second network that we're supporting, but we're making the process, the overall process of integrating future Cosmos networks much easier and simpler. So we'll be looking into like other potential candidates afterwards. So at the moment we're 100% focused on delivering this. So that's like
and you are talking about the you know about the certain markets being popular. I think it's the Neutron will be quite neutral, and I think this is really interesting because it's no secret that's where the Ethereum liquidity is being built, and there's really deep Ethereum liquidity. And I think it's worth leveraging this part because I think like, you know, Neutron and Nolus on Neutron, I believe you want to tap mainly into that Ethereum liquidity, not only Ethereum, but there is also, of course, Lido Ethereum, Wrapped ST ETH.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the main play here? Are there other assets that seem very interesting to Astroport?
So, if you like go to Astroport, you can see that there is currently like quite a big pool with Lido staked ETH and Ethereum. So we expect to see another pool which is with USDC because as you know, like Nolus supports only like stablecoin deposits, so you need to have like a path to that asset from a stablecoin. So once there is like sufficient liquidity with a stable asset to Ethereum or wrapped Ethereum or Lido staked Ethereum, yes, we would support that. And I believe this is in the pipeline for the folks at Neutron to like have this deep liquidity pool.
Yeah,
initially it's like NTRN and NTRN, DYDX, Atom, ST Atom, those would be like most probably the assets.
I almost forgot about DYDX. Yeah, but that's the issue. Yeah, like I think the Ethereum was done in purpose to build that liquidity on the pair between ST ETH and ETH. But obviously, we need we need to pair either it's SDF with USDC, and I think that will come soon enough. So we will see the deep liquidity there. Obviously, the deepest liquidity in Cosmos for DYDX is on Astroport. For those who wonder, when they have DYD, a lot of DYDX, so you will be able to leverage your DYDX tokens on Nolus as well. Of course, you can trade DYDX now futures on Nevada. Also, like on that side, we still have the old pairs like Atom and so on. But also, like beyond Neutron, like because you said you integrate in Neutron and you want to make it will make it easier to integrate the future networks, right? So as I think of Astroport right away, and Astroport is also on Luna. It's, you know, the second deepest liquidity is on Luna. So I would assume the future plans, of course, I don't want to go too much ahead in the dreaming here, but I would assume after Neutron, probably we see Luna, right? And then we can leverage Luna on Nolus.
Your assumption is close to the truth, yes. So Astroport is in fact on Terra. So an integration with Astroport and there is, I think, the easiest step because you basically have everything in place. So yeah, but of course we have yet to come out with an announcement on what exactly the third integrated network will be. But yeah,
I'm also curious just as a builder in this space. And I don't know if any of you have a hard stop, but I'd love to be able to get some question and answer time in here. I'm curious to hear, I guess this is me asking a question. What type of overhead do you have from launching on multiple chains? Because I know on the Lavana team, it's oftentimes the devs kind of feel overwhelmed. Deploying or trying to deploy on so many different chains. You know, we've built on Juno and on Say and on Injective and Osmosis, and we've played around on the testnets for Neutron and for Celestia, and there's a considerable amount of just like time and effort in DevOps to deploying on multiple places. And in many cases, it can be worth it because you'll pick up extra users and, you'll be able to get the liquidity on that chain. But, and the counter side to that is that it takes away a lot of effort and focus and detracts from actually making the product better. So I'm curious if any of that resonates to you.
Yeah, so I'll probably get a bit more technical here, but I'll try to simplify it in a bit. So as we know, Nolus utilizes IBC and interchain accounts to communicate with all of those integrated networks. So Nolus doesn't have to deploy its contracts to all of those chains. We first need to have this so to speak prerequisites before deploying, before integrating a new network. And these are primarily, is it an IBC network? Does it support interchain accounts? And of course, because Nolus uses interchain accounts, those accounts need to be able to send corresponding messages to swap, let's say, the desired asset on the DEX. And you need to, more or less, the chain needs to have this those messages in the interchain account host allow list, so to speak. And one of the reasons that we kind of decided to go with a slower pace is because we wanted to also abstract away kind of this integration process overall. So we kind of we more or less have, for every integration, we simply need to deploy a set of protocol contracts on Nolus. And basically those contracts are related to that specific DEX integration. And they simply need from there on, they need to be aware of the message that needs to be like sent to the desired integrated DEX on that other network supported network. And and they need to register the channels that the IBC channel that would be created with that network. And it's a matter of testing from there on. And of course, to integrate the assets in the Oracle system that we have. But this is something that we've managed to kind of boil down to a stepwise process, so to speak, more or less. And then it's a matter of governance proposals to also make the community aware of those steps and to take part actively in this integration.
That's a great answer. And what I hear in between the lines with all of that is it's complicated and it takes a lot of work, but we do it.
Is that an accurate summary? I think it's important to kind of build your code in a way such that it would be easier afterwards to expand with new functionalities and new integrations rather than having to like maintain your complex way, so to speak, you then have usually you have hard times building on top of what you created, so it can get quite messy. We wanted to do it in a way such that the whole process is more or less modularized, so to speak, and you simply have to plug in the new integration and from there on make the necessary adjustment in parameters, and you're good to go. So we expect from here on to have like a quicker go-to-market for upcoming integrations.
So, Jonathan, I want to ask you, because your most popular market is Osmosis, so obviously I would be curious if you also plan to launch on Neutron. But I was quite surprised, you know, injective markets are not very popular. And I was thinking, do you think it could be due to the fact that it's not futures, so it's not paired with like in USDC? Because I think then you could actually do some arbitrage with like Helix, but I don't see those being very expanded. Is there like more plans around these other networks, like trying to expand Injective, or your main focus is like Osmosis for now? Because I see there is also some proposal on Osmosis, so I would assume the plans are to align yourself more with that network. Is that correct, what I'm getting?
Yeah, so I think in terms of where the most of the spot trading is happening, on Cosmos, I think it's accurate to say that most of it is happening on Osmosis DEX. And so that's where we want the Lavana token to have the largest amount of liquidity. Also, most of our users are on Osmosis. We've paid, out almost $1 million to users of Lavana on Osmosis since we launched. So there's just a lot of natural alignment from the overlap there. We also recognize that that there's a lot of value in terms of just technical focus. We actually, to answer your question, because it was a two-part question, one was about Injective. The central order book, like chain level order book that Injective has, is very enticing. And I think that there's a lot of merit there. And Osmosis does not yet have a similar mechanism. I don't think anybody else has a similar mechanism. Maybe Kajira does. I don't know if Finn is or Manta is on the mempool level or if it's fully on chain. But maybe you would know more about that, Don. But what we found was that we launched BTC USDT market, we launched a BNB USDT market exactly with the same philosophy or thought process of what you just described, is that, hey, look, the funding rate's going to be different. There's going to be different opportunities to be able to hedge. And it just didn't pan out. You know, users didn't bite. And now it could be that we just did a bad job marketing it. It could be that it was a bear market. It could have been a million different reasons. But at least to date, we have not been successful at really just attracting the type of interest that we would have expected on Injective outside of the actual INJ market. The INJ market is like on fire. You know, everybody loves it. Maybe I'll just pull up, I'll tell you what some of the most recent numbers have been on that. Hold on, my phone is loading right now. And I go to settings. If you're not familiar with where to find the stats, it's trade.lavana.finance /stats. And so I'm looking right now at the INJ market. Over $1 million traded on INJ yesterday. And now if we look at like the Bitcoin market on Injective, there was $3,000 traded yesterday. So, I mean, that's like, you know, it's 3% of Bitcoin trading versus INJ trading. So we, you know, it's you got to kind of like recognize what the market values or what they're interested in. And they're definitely interested in trading INJ much more so than trading other things, at least on Lavana.
Okay, we are approaching 1 hour, so like don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I wonder if there is like that we had some people, so I want to, if you guys have time, 5-10 more minutes, if there is some question that people want to ask Lavana, if you want to ask Jonathan from Lavana, if you want to ask Meta something about Nolus that maybe we didn't cover, maybe you're curious, don't be shy. You can just raise your hand and I give you a voice. So if you get some questions, meanwhile, if Jonathan, Meta, if there is something you wanted to cover and we didn't cover, right, because I didn't ask or so on, please speak.
Well, I'll say one thing is that Lavana is imminently launching a token, and that token is minted on Osmosis, which is another kind of long term alignment with the Osmosis platform. I'm curious, about from Nolus's perspective, governance, having users primarily being on one chain. What are your thoughts, kind of about how to, or maybe any advice that you might have as to how to best succeed as a, as a protocol that's not an app chain in an ecosystem that historically has been focused on app chains?
So, if I get the question right, you're mostly concerned about like governance around in an app chain versus like governance utility on a protocol that is deployed on another network among other protocols as well.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, it's probably like it's easier to like focus this to focus on governance on an app chain rather than on a protocol that is kind of shares this block space with other protocols as well. So for us, we think that it's like we've seen like a good activity in governance participation in general from our validators on our app chain, because basically whenever there's like a governance proposal, we make sure to not only just publish it and wait for the validators to notice it on the Block Explorer, for example, but we also try to like communicate it actively with our community to kind of outline in whether it be announcements or discussions, the step-by-step process that we want to achieve with that governance proposal. So we want to share some as much details as possible in that governance proposal, so that the community would know what the end result would look like. So this has like proven to be like a good strategy for now, I think. So we have like I believe good participation overall based on the stake that is participating. I would say maybe the primary idea is to be like as transparent as possible with your community and the steps that would need to be outlined, and to make your community aware of what you're trying to achieve with a certain proposal. That's
very nice. Thanks for taking the time to answer that.
If I can speak, I think the rhetoric around the app chains is changing a little bit, right? You can see actually osmosis from just being a DEX, right? I think it's venturing more onto like DeFi protocol, right? Like it tried to deploy actually more products, and I think Cosmos can actually easily scale to that. So why you wouldn't use that, right? Like why you would focus on one thing if you can add up and increase your value. So we have Osmosis, we have Kujira, and we have Neutron. I think these three, and then we also have Luna, right? And then it's Astroport, which is like application being deployed and aligning themselves with certain other networks. And I think that's like how we see that's a little different on the different matter, but I think we will see the app chains, but they will not be just focused on one single app, right? Like there's no reason for that unless it's a very developed app already, like DYDX. But I think it's like also very difficult for DYDX now. It will be difficult to compete, to be honest, because we have so many options.
Well, I think DYDX is going after a bigger pie. DYDX is saying, which I think is the right approach, is like they're not even like playing in the Cosmos sandbox. They're like, we want to compete with Binance. We want to get Binance users. Like, we don't care about Lavani users or Osmosis users. Let's go after, you know, so like one mediocre exchange, you know, tends to have more monthly active users than like the best dApp in the world. And so it's I think having the goalpost be in the right place is the correct way to achieve success.
Yeah. Okay. We're over hour. We didn't have the questions, or rather, people, as always, probably were a little bit shy. So I think we can wrap it up. I hope the space is recorded, so people can revert to this and listen to this. I get the thumb up. We get the thumb up from the Nolus if you want to listen. Very big thank you to Nolus for hosting this space. You know, I ask them if they can host. I never feel like I'm the good host. I like to be the speaker, but I think that's probably
you're second. Great.
Thank you. I think that's the John, second order.
Thank you. You're a scholar and a gentleman, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. A lot of fun. So beyond Nolus, of course, big thank you to a Jonathan, who is super responsive to the community. I think it's like big wave of fresh air. You can see a lot of posts from Levana, something very novel that didn't happen that much in Cosmos. You know, the airdrop announcement doing absolute massive news. It's like 700 likes, 300 retweets, and so on. So I'm very happy with this new wave of DeFi that we have in Cosmos. And, you know, Levana and Nolus are surely on the forefront of that. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All the best. Mm-hmm.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these token knocks. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Bye.